Okay, it's the 12th day of February 2008, and we are sitting here together in Weatherby, Missouri in a cold, cold, cold winter. It's been a very cold winter. Mark wanted to do a discussion tonight, and he handed me a sheet of paper with the title, God is God and we are not. Is that what you said?
Yes.
What prompted that title?
We're human. God is God.
Okay.
God is sovereign. God is the ruler.
Okay. You know, we need to hear that in this day and time when we're living in a time when people say they are the master of their own destiny and they are the master of their own fate and all that stuff. The Bible says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And people don't want to give God His rightful place, not only in creation, but even in salvation. And people want to take credit. The scientists, I should say the quote, so-called scientists now, even under the guise of intelligent design, are trying to bring in evolution. And say, well, God and science are not in, they're in perfect unity together because it took God probably thousands and millions of years to bring this earth into existence. The Bible says that the morning, the evening and the morning were what?
First day.
Yeah. That's a 24-hour period, isn't it?
Yeah.
The morning and the evening. Yeah. Well, your title, God is God and we are not, it reminds me of the second chapter of Psalms. We've gone over this before, but it bears going over again. Why don't you read that second psalm for us?
Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree the Lord hath said unto me. Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and ye perish from the way, when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him.
Well, here it's talking about the kingdom of Christ and how the kings of the earth are exhorted to kiss the Son, Jesus Christ. And it's exalting that God is God and we are not. Nebuchadnezzar, he certainly learned his lesson. He was saying that my hands have done all these things, and the next 7 years he crawled around like a beast and his nails grew out like claws. And he was quick to acknowledge after that experience that God is God and we are not, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, just in a nutshell, that's what he acknowledged, that you know, we cannot put ourselves on an equal par with God Almighty. And there's a lot of people that are doing out doing that in today's world. Why don't you turn to the fourth chapter of Daniel, Mark, and fourth chapter of Daniel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, and I want you to read some passages there in Daniel for me, the fourth chapter, and read the 32nd through the 30, just read it down through the end of the chapter there.
And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand, or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me. And I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. And I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase.
Nebuchadnezzar had a turnaround, didn't he?
Yeah.
He was exalting himself, and God struck him down, and now he's saying, God is God and we are not. Now if we look in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, it says about God that who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, taught him? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing. To whom then will ye liken God, or what likeness will ye compare unto him? Read verse 21 for me.
Have you not known? Have you not heard? Have it not been told you? From the beginning, have you not understood from the foundation of the earth?
It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as of grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That bringeth the princes to nothing, he maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Now, read number 25. Read 25 down through the end of that chapter for us.
To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things? He bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel? My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint.
Well, he's proclaiming that he's God. Isaiah is proclaiming that God is God, and we are not God. Now, if we go on over to the 45th chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah says, speaking of the Lord, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherd of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth, what makest thou? Or thy work he hath no hands. Read verse 8 for us.
Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it.
Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the works of my hand command ye me? I made the earth, and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. And so, read verse 18 for us.
For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it, he created it not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else.
Well, in the 46th verse, it says that he's declaring the end from the beginning, reading verse 10, from ancient times of things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. And he says, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, so I will also do it. And read verse 9 for us in chapter 46.
Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me.
Well, God is sovereign over all things. He says in the 66th chapter of Isaiah, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? He's over all of these things. And we need to remind ourselves often that God is God and we are not God. You know, that's what Satan was trying to get Adam and Eve to believe in the Garden of Eden through his deception. God hath not said. You know, God hath not said. But we see that God is God. God means that he is sovereign, that he is the supreme moral being. He is all just, all righteous, and all holy. He has no one to answer to. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. And none can say unto him, what doest thou? And now we're going to look in Colossians, the first chapter of Colossians. He says in the 16th verse, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Well, that's pretty powerful stuff there. God is God, and we are not. Now, go back to the first chapter of Ephesians, and for God's elect, we have a certain promise from God for His elect. Look in the ninth, read the ninth verse for us.
Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself.
And the 11th verse says, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. God is God, and we are not. Those that want to put all the emphasis on man and put all the emphasis on what man can do. And we need to get back to recognizing God for whom He is. God can do anything He wants to do. Anytime He wants to do it, anywhere He wants to do it, and use any means He wants to do it. I mean, He... Yeah, 13th chapter of Hebrew, it says, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, society certainly wants to tell us the very opposite thing. They want to tell us that we determine our own destiny. That we can pick ourselves up by our bootstraps. I've heard people say they were self-made millionaires. The Bible says that God, the kings, that God causes kings to rise and fall. And God is the one that gives us power to get wealth. The ninth chapter of Romans, he says, for the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, that my name might be declared throughout the whole, all the earth. Read verse 22.
What if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction?
Yeah. God's going to make His power known. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. And, you know, one of these days, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. They may not confess it now, but every one of these days, you know, Jesus Christ came the first time as a suffering servant. But when He comes back the next time, He's coming back as a ruling and reigning King. And He's going to come back in glory, in majesty, in power. And we can look in Revelation, and it says here in Revelation, it gives Him all the glory, all the glory. Look at the 19th chapter of Revelation and read the first verse of that for me.
And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God.
Yeah, that's what they said. They said, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. God is God and we are not. And, you know, it's something that we need to remember, that He is the King of Kings. Read the 16th verse.
And He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Yeah, that's what He's got. And so, now go over to the 21st chapter of Revelation. And look in the, read the 5th verse down through, read the 5th and 6th verse for me.
And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely.
So, that's probably a good place to end this discussion tonight, on the fact that God is God and we are not. He said it's done. It is done. That's what Christ said on the cross. It is finished. And He said, I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. And so we need to hold God in His proper place. And we never, ever should put God at a lower place than where He says He is, which is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In the 145th Psalm, it says, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever. Every day will I bless thee. And I will praise thy name forever and ever. Read the 3rd verse of the 145th Psalm for me. And read, why don't you read down through down to the 7th verse.
Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness.
Okay, and he also says, All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the fact that you are God and we are not. Help us to always exalt you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Help us to realize our own frailty, our own sinfulness, our own need of a Savior on a daily basis. And show us yourself in all of your glory and majesty. And may it become greater and greater and greater, revealed to us as we walk and continue in your word. We ask this in Christ's name and for your glory alone. Amen.